Next hymn, our song will be Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, and Brother Jeff will talk just a little bit in connection with that. But as you noticed, he's not here. His back is still giving him issues, so he's on the screen.
The tune for Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee came from Ludwig von Beethoven, one of the greatest composers of classical music. And he wrote it more than 200 years ago. Beethoven was completely deaf at the time, unable to hear his own music. The lyrics for the song are well over 100 years old, written by a man named Henry Van Dyke. When he described what he wanted to emphasize in the lyrics, Mr. Van Dyke said, "These verses are simple expressions of common Christian feelings and desires in this present time. Hymns of today that may be sung together by people who know the thought of the age and are not afraid that any truth of science will destroy their religion or that any revolution on earth will overthrow the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, these are hymns of trust and of hope." In keeping with our theme tonight of Jesus coming to us as a helpless infant and the humble nature of such a beginning as our Messiah, we read phrases from Mr. Van Dyke like, "In a manger lies a baby, child of Mary, son of God." And praise resounds as earth rejoices in the birth of Christ the King, as well as this phrase, "Shepherds kneel before the infant." This one small helpless child was indeed a king, one who would become king of all kings, who, even though a human child of a teenager named Mary, also was the son of God. What a humbling journey to come from the glory of heaven and the fellowship of the triune God to be birthed in a dirty, stinking stable, first visited by shepherds, the lowest of the low in that culture. Speaking of that teenage girl, another song, "Mary, Did You Know," expresses these thoughts. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am." The Apostle Paul shines a light on much the same concept, telling us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to be held onto, but made himself nothing. Think on that. Made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus started life on this earth, as we all do, totally and completely dependent on others. When you really spend time thinking about it, it is almost impossible to comprehend. We have trouble humbling ourselves just a little bit, especially us men, but Jesus lets us know what godly humility actually looks like. He may have started out in humble fashion, but this one small child was later given, as we see again in Philippians 2, a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As our next song says, "As with joy our hearts are lifted, joined in wonder, love, and praise." Now let's sing together, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee."
Of glory, Lord of life.
Our next song is Sing We Now of Christmas. Maybe a hymn that's not nearly as familiar to us as some of the ones that we usually sing beginning during the Advent season and through the Christmas season. But it's taken from Luke 2, 13 and 14. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." The shepherds have just gotten the news of the newborn Savior in Bethlehem. So in the song, we're going to see phrases like the babe, that's baby, infant king, holy child. Those phrases make sense because this is a French carol, and the French have this thing with nativity sets and scenes, not only outside in creches like you see, but in their songs and in their hymns. But just who is it that we're singing about in this song? I think Isaiah put it into the right context for us. In Isaiah 9:6, he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Whenever we see a manger scene, whether it's a foot tall or it's a life-size one, we often look at the baby Jesus. Does he look realistic enough? So many of our nativities give him that peaceful look. And I imagine he did have one when he wasn't crying, as Brother Bill related to earlier. But over time, we may have forgotten the fullness of who it was in that manger 2,000 years ago until we start to read the book of Revelation. Here we read again that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. In chapter 1, verse 8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the first and the last. Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The first chapter of Revelation, we see who Jesus really is. We see a description of his appearance as John saw him. His eyes looked like a flame. His voice sounded like many waters. Glorious. This is our Jesus. The Jesus who came to earth as a baby the first Christmas. The God of the universe, the creator of all, allowed himself to be wrapped in our skin, to have a beating heart, to need food and water just like we do. The majestic King of Heaven set aside his golden band and his crown to wear swaddling clothes, to walk dusty streets, to love those who wouldn't love him back. The baby in the manger is Lord of all. I believe that the shepherds understood who they saw when they found Jesus the night he was born. The angels had told them. Prophecy had promised him. Christ the Lord had come at last. Peace had arrived. Goodwill toward mankind. The shepherds' response to the angels' declaration is the same response God wants us to have. Seeking Jesus, praising God, telling others. When we take in what Scripture tells us about Jesus, the proper response to him is to seek him and worship him. It's to praise God and share with others who Jesus is, and that he has come to seek and save the lost. No longer do we have to roam through life trying to satisfy our hearts our way or to make sense of the world in our own wisdom. We can know God, find all we need in His love and provision, and have a purpose. This Christmas, let's be like the shepherds who shared about Jesus who saves. And like John, the writer of Revelation, let's fall before Jesus in awe and walk with Him in love. May the Jesus who was in the manger be the Savior and Lord of our hearts and the peace and goodwill that we seek. May He be the light of our life, the light that we share with others in this special season and all year long. Amen. Sing We Now of Christmas. Birthday of the King, and Brother Mike will share with us for that.
I think I'd have a little bit of practice talking about shepherds, since we talked about that just 11 days ago, and from the story from Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. The songs we're about to sing cover that story in a fairly memorable way. Music makes it easy for us to remember the story. So I want you to think about the words you're actually singing. So as you sing these next three songs, think about what it would have been like to be one of those shepherds on that first Christmas night. While shepherds watch their flocks, this 272, and hark the herald angels sing, this 277, they both mention the fearful sight when the angels first appeared to the shepherds. And you imagine what that was like, you know, all that bright light. I had one analogy picked out, but it was probably not appropriate for here. But so pretend like it was like a really bad lightning storm. You're out in the field, there's nowhere to hide, and it's pretty scary. You're not protected at all. So these guys were pretty scared just from all the light and all the stuff going on, and then the angels show up, which is not a normal thing when you're watching a bunch of sheep sleep. So that, you know, they went from being fearful and, you know, all that. Yeah, forget that analogy. And so imagine what it was like when the mood change they felt when the angels started sharing the great news that our Savior would be found in Bethlehem in a manger, which had to make their head hurt a little bit, but, you know, still really good news. Their Savior was there. They knew they needed a Savior. They were maybe a little bit sharper than some other folks who don't realize they need a Savior. But when they think about the manger, well, that's not where kings are normally born. But in the Birthday of the King, 284, as well as the other two songs, it describes that scene well. Now, one thing that's really cool about the shepherds, they actually had the faith to act upon what they were told. You know, some people could have just heard it and blown off the story. But these angels, you know, angels relayed the story to the shepherds, and they essentially became the first evangelists to talk about Christ coming here to save us. So while they had the faith to go see Jesus, do we always have that faith? The shepherds had a really lowly station in life. You know, they weren't even fit to go to a synagogue or a temple. They weren't allowed because they were always unclean. And, you know, if you remember from that Chosen video, they show up at the well and everybody else leaves. They don't want to be around these guys. And yet, the King of the universe arrived in an even more lowly state than these shepherds. Here he is in a hanging around in an animal feed trough. And it's dark and stinky in there. And, you know, you've got some animals doing whatever they do. And there's no room in the hotel for him. He's born out there in this feed trough. And, you know, this had to be mind-boggling even to the shepherds. You know, even though they were in a low place, here's Jesus, a king, born even more lowly. And so all the kings they had known about would never be found around folks like these shepherds, and would never been outside of some glorious palace somewhere ever since birth, or when it did go out, they had this big entourage and all the fanfare. And so this was a way different king than anything they've ever thought about. So, but this king was called, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. So these men could never have hoped to see a king up close, but here is one. Now they see God, the King of Kings, up close. Even them as shepherds got to see him. So this king was born to save the shepherds and all others who would believe in him. So this reminds me of Pastor Tom's favorite theological term, wow. It really fits here. So when you sing these songs, sing them with wow in your hearts.
Have a bit of a medley coming up.
Our next song is Once in Royal David City. Another one that we're maybe not as familiar with as some of the other ones, and Denise will share some with us. Denise?
Can I take this off? Yeah. You won't be able to hear me otherwise, I know. And I'm just going to read. I'm not going to get into the history of it as much as just focus on the baby. So have you ever noticed that babies always command attention? When there's a baby around, they become the center of attraction. We tend to be quiet and still, draw near to observe, to wonder. Even rough and tough men turn syrupy in the presence of a baby. But what do we learn from a baby? Well, it turns out quite a lot, actually. We learn about creation. We wonder at the perfection of this amazing creation. The fingers, the toes, that's my personal favorite, and the soft skin. We learn about quiet, of course, until they get hungry and cry. I remember Sarah used to put her hand up like this for quiet when there was noise. And we learn about stillness, gentleness. We learn about unity, for we rally around little ones to care for them. About dependence, about hunger. We learn about the process of growth, rapid at first, but then step by step, often falling, but getting back up. And language. You can't always understand a baby's noises, but listen carefully. Something is being communicated. Just ask Mom, she probably knows which cry that is. We speak their language with coos and ahs. We learn about being led, for babies grow into children that need to be guided, and they know the voice of their parents, especially their mom. The currently popular series, The Chosen, has the slogan, "Get used to different." Jesus did things differently. He turned things upside down. He used his strength to choose weakness. As an infant, he taught us much. Later, the tables are turned again. Jesus grew up and became our Savior and still is our teacher. We're now his children. As spiritual children, we must go back to what he taught us in his infant state. Jesus was a real-life metaphor of stages of spiritual life. He who grew up and became the Word in flesh, the bread of life, the light of the world. He went through the painful process of having to grow for us. One of the most astounding verses in the Bible to me is Hebrews 5:8. Jesus was God's son, but by suffering, he learned what it means to obey. Wow. He went through the process of learning and temptation so that he could understand our anguish and our weakness. You see, he was our teacher from the very beginning. The baby in the manger couldn't speak with words, but yet he taught us about the wonder of the Creator. Through him, we learned about quiet and stillness in his presence and joy of drawing near to him. Peace with God and peace with men. Listening carefully to his voice, being in tune with his spirit and speaking his language. My sheep hear my voice, John 10:27. Hunger for his words. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and heart's delight, Jeremiah 15:16. Then there's the process of growth, which requires daily surrender, walking by faith one step at a time, getting up when we fall, being led like a child, following closely so we don't get lost. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5-7. I'm sure you heard that there was a Christmas star this week in the sky for the first time in hundreds of years, which was actually a conjunction of planets. A friend was sharing how people would be disappointed if they expected a spectacular, brilliant star that lit up the sky. I wasn't disappointed, though. I was just happy that many actually slowed down enough to gaze into the sky and wonder at the creation. It brings us all one step closer to the wonder of the true meaning of the real Christmas star and the baby it pointed to. Perhaps like you, I sometimes get discouraged that people are missing the meaning of Christmas, commercializing it and making it more palatable. They want to keep the manageable sweet baby in the manger who doesn't grow up to point out our sin and disobedience. But let's not forget, Christmas and the Christmas star over the baby Jesus is not just a sign for the unbeliever, it's a sign for us as believers. Let's keep drawing near, quieting our hearts to listen for the still small voice, considering the mysteries of the cross, remaining dependent by relying on him daily, hungering for... hungering for the word, for his words, and I know it just talked about at the end, considering the wonder of, and sharing that with, talking about the wonder of Christmas, and the Christ of Christmas, and that's it. Thank you.
Before Betwin comes to share with us and our last song, which will also be our candle lighting song. And so just remember, the screen will be on, the words will be up there, but the lights are going to go down as we light the candles. So, Betwin, are you going to need some light up here? Or will there be enough on the screen for you to see what you're talking about? Okay. Anyway, Betwin will come and we'll use Silent Night as our song to light our candles too.
Hello, if you're new here, my name is Betwin Aloka. So about 2 weeks ago, I talked about the same history of Silent Night. So I'm going to talk about how it started. I'm going to just read some here. So Silent Night started as Still Night, Elliot Night. That Austrian, I think is the same as German language. And so it's actually it was started singing in 1818, but in 2 years prior, 1816, a guy named Joseph Moore, I've came up with the language, but he needed someone to develop the lyrics and the instrument that goes with the guitar. And so so that's how it started. at that time, that just between 1816 and 1818, there was serious flooding in that town in Austria. And so the organ broke. And so that was their only instrument, that guitar, that they play Silent Night that year. And so that is what I want to say very shortly about how it started. I just want to move into the other part that kind of, not that I'm not interested in the first part, but the First World War just kind of brings some serious meaning about Silent Night. So the First World War started, I think, August 1914. And so it was the German at this time against the Western Front, which was France, Belgium, and Great Britain. And so I learned that what happened on Christmas Eve of 1914, in the battle area, it was about 500 miles long at this Western Front. So somewhere at night, I think, on the German side, a man named, what's his name? Walter. He starts singing Still Night, Elliot Night in German. And then he was singing some in English. And then all of a sudden, everyone was singing Silent Night. And imagine, these are rainy, very dangerous times. But with this singing, both sides were singing. And then going to Christmas Day. And so they had a party, some kind of party, rather, in the middle of what they call the no man's land, sharing puddings and cigarettes. I guess it was very important to these young soldiers. But the thing that I find it interesting also is that Pope the 15 requested a truce that would stop the fighting on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but nobody wanted to follow that request by the Pope. So they started their own truce among themselves. And so I think that was great. And so mine is short. I just want to kind of add the Silent Night idea about peace, which everyone kind of seemed to talk about tonight, and Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. And so I think that is great. As we are still not over with this pandemic, and as we are approaching a new year, what else is good for us to do or to think about but a God that can be still all the time, a God that can help us? Thank you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for this time together in which we can celebrate the birth of our Savior. Father, we know that things get busy this time of year. There are lots of things going on and activities. But Father, never let us forget that you sent your Son, that there was a reason for that, and it's tied to the cross. Father, we thank you for your provision for us. We give you praise and glory, and we pray, Lord, that you will help us to spread the Christmas spirit, the true Christmas spirit, each and every day. In Father's name, amen.